begin, I'd like to have quite a number of verses together, so I hope you have a Bible. Can I suggest that maybe the ones behind me go to one of the other sections so we can see each other? Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, let's read verses 17 to 20. Let's read these together.
And he sent his slave at the dinner hour to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and see it. I ask you, have me excused." And the other said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to prove them.
Amen.
I ask you, have me excused."
Amen.
And another said, "I have married a wife,
and because of this, I cannot come." Okay, the same chapter, let's read 25 to 35, and we'll alternate. Brothers, begin on verse 25. And there were great crowds
going along with him, and he turned and said to them,
"If anyone comes to me and has not hated his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and moreover, even his own soul,
does not carry his own cross
and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Or which of you, wanting to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?
Lest perhaps once he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish,
all those looking on will begin to mock him.
Or what king, going to engage another king in war,
will not first sit down and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet the one coming against him with 20,000?
Otherwise, while he is yet at a distance, he sends an envoy and asks for the terms of peace.
Right.
In the same way, therefore,
one of you does not forsake all his own possessions cannot be my disciple.
Therefore, salt is good, but if even the salt becomes tasteless, with what will its saltiness be restored?
It is fit neither for the land nor for the manure pile. They will throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Okay, let's read 2 short footnotes. The brothers read footnote 26.1, and the brothers read footnote 28.1. Okay, sisters, footnote 26.1. Hey, brothers, the Lord's word here,
and that in verse 31, indicates that to make a career of following the Lord, we must give to it all we have and all we can do. Otherwise, we will be a failure, becoming the tasteless salt and being thrown out of the glorious realm into a sphere of shame.
Okay. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Let's read these two together. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15.
Amen.
For the love of Christ
constrains us, because we have judged this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and has been raised.
Amen. Okay, Philippians 3, 7 and 8. Let's read these two together also. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. But what things
were gained to me, these I have counted as loss on account of Christ. But moreover, I also count all things to be loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as refuse, that I may gain Christ.
Amen. Okay, just a couple more. Judges chapter 5, 15 through 18. Judges 5, 15 through 18. We can alternate on these, beginning with the brothers. And the princes in Issachar were with Deborah, and Issachar was true to Barak. Into the valley they were sent behind him. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolutions in heart. Gilead stayed across the Jordan, and as for Dan, why did he remain with the ships? Asher sat at the shore of the sea and stayed at his landings. Amen. Okay, one more. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Let's read it together. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. For which also we pray
always concerning you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and may fulfill in power your every good intention for goodness and your work of faith.
Amen. Okay. I'll just share a little bit based on these verses. The main thing we read tonight is Luke chapter 14, and those verses are really quite striking, because in those verses the Lord is very, very absolute. You might even say a little hard or harsh. You know, other places in the Gospels there's similar words, but not that strong. For example, in other places, it says you should not love your father, your mother, your sister, your brother more than me, more than me. That doesn't sound too bad. I think all of us would say, okay, I can do that. But here, the Lord uses a word that we would never use. He uses the word hate. He said, and he touches every human relationship, every close human relationship. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and moreover his own soul life, he cannot be my disciple, is a very, very strong word. Of course, as we get into it, we realize the Lord never instructs us to hate a person, but he wants us to hate anything that would frustrate us from following him.
Right.
Anything. And then he uses another very strong word here. Every one of you who does not forsake all of his own possessions cannot be my disciple. See, nobody says amen When you read a verse like that, no one ever says amen. They say, oh no. And you're thinking about your possessions. All of my possessions? Let me ask you a question. Is the cost of following the Lord, is it high or is it low? It all depends on how much you value following the Lord. It depends on your system of value. If you offer me, you could offer me the largest diamond ever discovered. I don't value that. That's a rock.
That's right.
I won't even give you $10 for that because it means nothing to me. I don't value it. But a person who values that might give a lot for it. Am I right? Well, what I want to talk about tonight, because this fellowship is related to the working saints, I want to talk about what is our career. Or let's say it this way, what's the highest career we could have? And I don't know if you noticed in the footnote that we read, the footnote that the brothers read, it uses the word career. Isn't that something? Our career is to follow the Lord.
Amen.
We have jobs. We have occupations. You might be a doctor. You might be a lawyer. You might be an engineer. You might be a nurse. That's not your career. That's your job. Don't ever treat that as your career.
That's right.
That will be a big mistake.
Right.
That's only your job.
Right.
Christians only have one career. So Christian life's really easy to decide what your career should be because there's only one.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Amen.
We can have all manner of jobs, but we can only have one career.
Amen.
Okay? So tonight, we're going to have a little career counseling.
Amen.
Let's talk about our career, all right? 2 Corinthians 5, the verses we read, that's a description of your career and mine. You know, in 1982 was the first time Brother Lee began to speak to us about what it means to be a full-timer, the definition of a full-timer. Now, before 1982, I had already a very strong aspiration to serve full-time, so I had a concept of what it meant to serve full-time. And I thought that that meant you quit your job, and then you spend all of your time to serve the Lord and the church. Is that right?
No.
Actually, it's only partially right. Brother Lee helped us to see from 2 Corinthians 5 what it means to be a full-timer. It means you live to the Lord.
Amen.
You live to Him. Whether you have a job or whether you do not have a job, if you have a job, and you live to the Lord, you are serving Him with all of your time. And if you do not have a job, but you do not live to Him, you're not serving full time.
That's right.
The definition of serving full time means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The definition of that is to whom? And to what are we living? What is the direction? What is the goal of our living? That is your career. Whatever that is, if you spend all of your time and all of your energy to earn money, then you're living to mammon. Sorry. But most of the people in the world live to mammon. They don't live to God. And if you spend all of your time and all of your energy to have a happy human life marriage life and family life, then that's what you're living to. And a smaller number of people in the world live to that. Who's living to the Lord? Only people who don't have jobs? Are they the only ones? No, there are no part-time Christians.
That's right.
Amen.
We don't believe some of the time and then other times not believe, do we? No, we are full-time believers. So every one of us needs to be a person who lives to the Lord all the time. Regardless of what our outward occupation may be, regardless of what we do with our time. So a young mother at home with an infant who is neither working at a job nor, quote, serving, Ermina, can live to the Lord while she is caring for her infant child. And if she does that, she is serving the Lord.
Amen.
You have to believe that.
Amen.
And you have to see that as a very basic foundation. Otherwise, it's very easy to get into this kind of frame of mind that, well, I'm not a serving one. I'm a working one. So that's what I do. And then, you know, I'll give some money and that'll be what I do. That's a very low vision. That is a very, very low vision. In fact, I would say that's a religious thought. That's what people in Christianity would think. No, every one of us must consider we have one career. Let me ask you, what's your career? Following the Lord and serving the Lord. We all have the same career. Sometimes our job gets in the way of our career. You understand my language? Or sometimes we put our job above our career. So what that means is that we need to adjust our priorities. All right, let's go on. Let me read you a quote from the Life Study of Exodus. This quote doesn't use the word career. It uses the word profession. So now let me tell you what your profession is.
Amen.
Your career is following the Lord. Here's your profession. The highest profession on earth is to spend time being infused with God.
Amen.
That we may shine forth God.
Amen.
Do you like this career?
Yes.
Man.
That's much better than being a Boeing engineer. I'll tell you what, it's much better than being president of the United States.
Amen.
Right now, a whole bunch of people want to be president of the United States. I don't have time to be president of the United States. I'm much too busy with my profession.
Yes.
And my profession is much higher. Do you agree?
Amen.
Yes.
Don't aspire for the presidency. That's a very low goal.
Right.
Aspire to the highest profession.
Amen.
And I say again, regardless whether you are a mother at home, whether you are working in a hospital, whether you are driving a cement truck, doesn't matter. You can practice this profession.
Amen.
You can spend time every day
Amen.
To be infused with God
Amen.
And to shine forth God.
Amen.
So while you're driving the truck, you're shining forth God.
Amen.
And while you're caring for your children, you're shining forth God.
Amen.
If you do that, you're carrying out your profession.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we do need to do that. Now, in that footnote, let me reread the footnote to you that we read. It says, the Lord's word here, and that in verse 31, indicate that to make a career of following the Lord, we must give to it all that we have and all that we can do. Otherwise, we will be a failure. You know, this career and this profession that we have, it's different than any other kind of career or profession. You can be a very good doctor without giving to it everything that you are and have. You can be a very good driver without giving to it everything that you are and have. But you know what? This profession is different. You can't even give 90% to it. If you give 99% to it, you're still going to fail. So I know what you're thinking right now. Wait a minute. When did I sign up for this career? What do you mean? 100%? Well, you signed up for it the day you called on the name of the Lord. Amen. And he entered into your spirit. And I know you're like me. Sometimes in a weak moment, I argue with the Lord. I said, I never agreed to this. Where was this? In the fine print somewhere that I didn't read? I don't remember saying I'm going to give you everything I have and am and can do. Well, anyway, it's too late.
Amen.
That's your career.
Hallelujah.
That's your profession. Let me say it another way. Brothers and sisters, the life that came into us when we were regenerated, it wants to live this way.
Amen.
And actually, it's not happy with anything less. You know, a Christian is never happy unless they're living to the Lord.
Amen.
It may be partially happy, but I know you all have this experience. The time that you are happy in the Christian life and the church life is when you are absolute.
Right. Yes.
And when you're not,
yes.
No.
The life in you doesn't agree with a halfway kind of Christian life or church life. It doesn't agree. So you're not happy if you live that way. So don't be discouraged by this word. Say, oh my goodness, I have to give everything I have, everything I am. I have to renounce all of my possessions. That's actually what the life in you wants to do.
Amen.
And if you do that, you will be a very, very happy believer.
Amen.
Now, that section of Luke 14 has a title, a subtitle in the Recovery Version. It says, it's the teaching on how to follow the man Savior. So these are the Lord's instructions. How should we follow him? And we first read all of the excuses for not following. So what were the excuses? The first excuse, I just bought a piece of land. Sorry, Lord, I just bought a piece of land. I can't follow you. That's pretty weak. But anyway, that was this one's excuse. What is that? Commerce. Investment. Your livelihood. Another said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. Same thing. To take care of your livelihood. Another said, I have just married a wife. That means if I'm the Lord, I'm going to say, wait a minute. Because you got married, you can't follow me? Is that what you're saying? And yet this is what this man said. I will follow you, Lord, but not right now, because I have just married a wife. So what is this touching? The human relationships. Another frustration to our following of the Lord. And then in another place, in Matthew chapter 9, another person said, I will follow you. Just permit me to bury my father. Did the Lord say, oh, excuse me, your father died? I'm sorry. Take a year, then come and follow me.
Right.
Is that what the Lord said? He said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me.
Amen.
So I don't know what your impression is when you read this. It seems to me the Lord is not very sympathetic. He's kind of hard. What's the meaning? Here's the meaning. You know, when you put the Lord first, when you give Him the preeminence, when you put Christ and the church above your job, above all of the human relationships, you're not doing Him a favor. You have the privilege of serving Him. He does not beg you. And He does not say, oh, yeah, that's fine. Just follow Me when you get a chance to. No. You have to realize this is the greatest career that a human being can have.
Right.
It's the highest thing. It's worth any sacrifice. And it requires sacrifice. But it's worth it. So that's why the Lord doesn't accept any excuses. And you know, in your experience, the Lord doesn't accept your excuses. He doesn't accept mine. You could say, oh, you know what? Lord, I am so busy at my job right now. Just give me a month to catch up. And then after that, I'll come to the meetings and I'll have morning revival. Does the Lord say, oh, yeah, fine. Take a month off. Take it easy. No. Within you, the Lord protests. He said, really? So for the next month, your job is going to be more important than Me and then the church life? If we are open to the Lord, we'll have this kind of realization. Well, when the Lord gave these instructions on how to follow Him, He used two parables, or illustrations. I would say they are illustrations. He talks about a man building a tower, and He talks about a king going to war. And building and fighting. Building a tower signifies building up the church as the body of Christ for God's expression. And going to war signifies becoming the bride of Christ as the warrior to defeat God's enemy.
Amen.
That's what it means to follow the Lord.
Wow.
You know what? That's your career. Your career is building and fighting.
Amen.
That's my career too. We are builders and fighters. But the Lord instructs us in this way. If you're going to do that, you need to calculate something and you need to have a deliberation. That's the instructions. The calculation is this. If I'm going to build the tower, do I have enough to finish it? It doesn't matter how you start. It matters if you finish it. We want to be those who finish the building.
Amen.
At the end of this age for the Lord's return. We want to finish.
Amen.
Do we have enough to finish? Well, the answer to that is, if you give to it all that you have and can do, you have enough to finish. And if you don't, you won't finish. Do you follow me? And then the king needs to deliberate. He needs to consider, can I win? With the number of men that I have, can I defeat the enemy who has more men? Can I do it? The answer is the same. If you give to it all that you have and are, you have enough. If you don't, you will be defeated. So, that's why that footnote says this career requires you to give everything you can to it, everything you have to it, right?
Amen.
Well, the reason I had you read the verses in Judges chapter 5 is that in that chapter there is a verse that we quote from time to time. It says, in the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolutions of heart and great searchings of heart. But I don't know if you've ever really thought about the context of those verses. And, you know, these two words, searchings of heart and resolutions of heart, it sounds a lot like the calculation and the deliberation in Luke 14. You know what that is? It's a serious and sober consideration about the purpose and goal of our life. That's what it is. And in Judges 5, that's the song, that's the victory song of Deborah, who was a judge in Israel, after Sisera was defeated. And you remember how Sisera was defeated? Jael, a sister, put a tent peg through his temple. Is the Bible a great book or what?
Better than television.
I tell you, better than any book.
Yeah.
And a sister defeated him. And a sister was taking the lead there as a judge. And I had you read the verses. Did you notice? In that song of victory, Deborah chastised some of the tribes because they didn't go to war. And then she praised some of the tribes because they did go to war.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And in her speaking about Reuben, you know, Reuben wasn't sure whether he would go or not. He was thinking it over. So before Reuben joined this battle, he had great searchings of heart and great resolutions of heart. That's what we need. First, there has to be a searching of our heart. Then, based on that searching, there needs to be a resolution. There needs to be a decision. I have decided I'm going to war.
Amen.
I might die. I might lose everything. It's okay. I decided. I had a resolution of heart.
Amen.
That's what happened with Reuben. And Reuben joined the fight. And the one who is praised the most is Zebulun. Zebulun was a people that despised their own lives, even unto death. Does that remind you of another verse in Revelation chapter 12 concerning the overcomers?
Yes.
They're the ones who do not love their soul life even unto death. But my point here is that there needs to be a consideration. There needs to be a searching. There needs to be a deliberation. And there needs to be a resolution. Have you ever done that in your Christian life and in your human life? Have you ever really thought about what's my life for? What is it actually for? Or the way they sometimes say it in the world is, what do you want it to say on your tombstone? What do you want people to say about you? Oh, Dexter Smith, devoted husband, loving father, successful engineer. If that's the way Dexter is remembered, I already know he will be very, very disappointed.
Right.
What Dexter hopes, and what I hope, is that when he is raptured.
I won't have a tombstone. Hallelujah.
He won't have a tombstone, But he won't be remembered as a loving father and a devoted husband and a successful engineer. He will be remembered as a person who did not love his soul life and who poured out everything that he had and was to build up the church as the body of Christ. Amen. And to defeat God's enemy.
Amen.
Wow. If people would say that about me when I'm gone, then my life was a success. But if they say anything else, my life was a failure. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it is. Say, oh, this person made $1 billion. So what? This person was the CEO of Boeing. Big deal. In eternity, that means nothing. We are aiming at eternity. We are not aiming at this age. So our career is not for this age.
Amen.
Well, I come back to this point that we need a searching in our heart. And I remind you of a testimony that Brother Lee gave. You've probably heard it, but I'll repeat it to you. Brother Lee, when he was quite a young Christian, he had this kind of searching of heart. And he said something like this: if I'm going to be a man, I must be a Christian.
Right.
And if I am going to be a Christian, I must love the Lord absolutely.
Amen.
And I must be in the church.
Right.
That's quite a resolution of heart. And you know what? That resolution in his heart that he had at a young age was fulfilled at the end of his life. Isn't that how you want it to be?
Amen.
That's how I want it to be. But my point right now is you need a resolution. You need to decide. See, actually, this is a decision. It's not, sometimes people say, well, you know, my job, my family, my, you know, I don't have any control over it. Really? Actually, you have total control over it. And you are the only one who has control over it. You decide what comes first. You decide what comes first every day. You decided what came first tonight. You could have stayed home. You could have gone to the Mariners game. You could have done a lot of things tonight. You decided to come to the meeting hall tonight. And everything in our human life is a series of decisions and choices, isn't it? You decided what job to take. You decided what company to work for. You decided what house to buy. You decided what car to drive. You decided everything. And your decisions, when you add them all up together, that's your life. That's your human life. And some people have made bad decisions. So their human life is a mess. If you decide, my wife and I need matching Rolls Royces, 2017 model. And I need to live on Lake Washington next to Bill Gates. Well, if you want that bad enough, you can probably get it. But what it will cost you won't be worth it. Okay, I just used a very extreme example, but I'm hoping you get my point. Brothers and sisters, we need to arrange our human life in a fashion that allows us to carry out our profession.
Amen.
We are responsible to do that, not the Lord, not the brothers. In fact, no one else can do it for you. Only you can do that because only you have the power to choose those kind of things. Your lifestyle, you understand what I said. Okay, Now, let's think about the Apostle Paul for a moment. We read Philippians 3. Paul was such an able and capable person. He was at the very top in Judaism. You may say, well, big deal. What's Judaism? Well, to him, it was a big deal. In fact, to him, it was everything. It was the goal of his life to be the top Pharisee, the top religious person, the top at keeping the law, the top in zeal. That was the goal of his life. And he called that the things that were gains to me. Paul wasn't a materialistic person. He didn't want Rolls Royces. Yeah. He just wanted to be the top Pharisee. But it's different for everybody. Some people want the material things. Paul wanted religious things. And that's what he considered as gains. And then he did some divine and heavenly accounting. He made a comparison between the things that he had considered to be gains and the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And he compared those two things, and he said, compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, those things are all a loss. I used to think they were gains. Now I think they're a loss. Because if I pursue those things, I will lose Christ.
Amen.
So now they're not gains to me. They're a loss. What do you think? That's pretty good accounting. Yeah. And then he did a second comparison. He said, moreover, I count all things to be loss, not just the things that were gains. Now it's all things. And then he not only counted them as loss, mm-hmm. he said he suffered the loss. Of all things. In other words, using the language of Luke 14, he paid the price to follow the Lord in an absolute way. And then did he say, oh, brothers and sisters, you can't believe the price that I paid. No, he said, you know what? Everything I lost was refuse.
Amen.
I gave up refuse, and I got Christ.
Amen.
That's the holy bargain. Arise, the holy bargain strike. You trade your refuse for Christ.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't think everything I have is refuse. That's because you haven't yet compared it to Christ. Paul didn't think it was refuse originally. In fact, originally he thought it was great. But once he compared it to Christ, he said, it's loss and it's refuse.
Amen.
So I come back to my earlier question. To follow the Lord in an absolute way, is the price high or low? I say it's low. All it costs you is refuse and loss. That's a low price. If I say, give me some refuse and I'll give you $1 million, would you do it? Give me your garbage and I will give you $1 million. You would be in a hurry to make that transaction. Now I'm going to ask you, give me everything that you are and have. And I'll give you Christ.
Amen.
Is it a good deal or a bad deal? It's a bargain.
Yeah.
Amen.
But it all depends on your system of value. It all depends on how you value Christ. If you value Christ, you realize, and I know, in a quiet moment, when you are alone with the Lord, you realize, Lord, in my life, what I have given to follow you, it's nothing. It's nothing. and yet I get to be here among your people in your house, enjoying you, serving you. I'm not worthy to walk through the front door, but here I am. Amen. It's a bargain. Okay, let me just finish up here. I wrote down a note. There must come a time in our life when we make a settled decision concerning the purpose of our human life, our Christian life, and our church life. We need to make a decision. And what decision do we need to make? Well, you know, very often when we talk up to the working saints, the discussion goes something like this. How can we balance our job, our family, and the church life? How can we balance them? Do you have this question? And usually the word we use is balance. Let me tell you tonight, no one can answer that question, so don't ask that question. Let's rephrase the question this way. How should I prioritize my job, my family, and the church life? That's the right question. And that question we can answer. And if you prioritize these three things, you will have a balance, and it will be the proper balance. But I can't tell you what the balance is because you have a different job than I have. You have a different family than I have. You have different children than I have. You have different health situation than I have. You have a different financial situation than I have. The balance might be different for you than it is for me, but the priority should be the same. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. So don't talk about balance. Talk about priority. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where do I get this word? You say, Mark, priority is not in the Bible. Yes, it is. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the things will be added to you. First implies priority. What is first? Are the things first, or is the kingdom of God and his righteousness first? The kingdom of God is the church, and his righteousness is Christ. Amen. So we put Christ and the church first.
Amen.
Everything else, a distant second.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
And if you do that, according to the Lord's promise in Matthew 6, you'll be blessed.
Amen.
You'll actually be blessed with all things. And I just give you a very brief testimony. I don't consider myself a success, but I will tell you this, at a very young age, I at least made the decision. And even before I got married, I gave the least romantic marriage proposal in the history of mankind. As I was about to propose to my wife, I said, I would really like to get engaged with you, but before we decide to do that, I need to tell you a couple of things. And then we can decide whether or not we should get married. I said, number one, right now I have a good job. I was working as a CPA. I said, right now I have a good job, but I don't intend to keep it. I intend to drop my job and serve the Lord. So we can only get married if you are willing to be poor. If you are not willing to be poor, I'm the wrong person for you. I said, number two, pretty romantic, huh? Number two, you have to be willing to live anywhere on the whole earth. Because I'm going to serve the Lord And we may have to go to Africa. We may have to go to South America. We may have to go to Mexico. I don't know. And if you're not willing to live anywhere on the earth, I'm the wrong person. Don't marry me. Number three, there's only three. Number three, you have to understand you will never be first. You will always be second. And never make me first. Always make me second. I told my wife this. You can check with her. I said, those are the three things. If those three things sound good to you, I'm your man. Well, my dear wife agrees with all three of those. Do you know what that means? It means we have the exact same priorities.
Sure.
We are very, very different people, humanly speaking, outwardly speaking, but we have the exact same priorities. Amen. So here's a little marriage tip. Secret to a happy marriage. You have to have the same priorities. I'm serious. It's more important than anything. If you have the same priorities, you can work out everything else. And if you don't, everything will be a problem. Everything will be a problem. Okay, I'm going to leave you with one last verse. And that is this. You know, what I have said tonight and the verses that we read, maybe they seem hard to you. And our natural response would be to say, maybe Dexter can do it, maybe Sherman can do it, but I can't do it. I'm not like them. I can't do it. No, let me tell you, you're exactly like them. You have the exact same life in you that is in them. And the life in you wants to do this. So you cannot look at yourself when you consider this. So while you are having a searching of heart, while you are having a resolution of heart, you have to remember, my part is simply to make a choice.
Amen.
My part is not to fulfill it. My part is to make the choice. So we read 2 Thessalonians 1:11. That verse says, we pray always concerning you that our God may count you worthy of your calling and may fulfill in power your every good intention. How about that? Amen. Only you can intend. God cannot intend for you, but he can fulfill your intention.
Amen.
How about that? So you choose. And once you choose, then the Lord has the ground to operate in you to fulfill that choice. But if you never choose, he has no ground to fulfill it. Can you see this? Mm-hmm. So, what should we do? Each one of us should go to the Lord, and we should pray. And we should pray in a different way, maybe, than we have in the past. We should pray in a way of searching our heart, and of resolving, and of deciding, and of choosing what will be preeminent in our life. Then don't worry if you can fulfill it.
That's right.
Just tell the Lord, Lord, you are the first.
Amen.
I've decided it. I choose it.
Amen.
It's my decision.
Amen.
You and the church, the kingdom of God and his righteousness are first in my life.
Amen.
Amen.
If you say that, then the Lord has your permission to work it out in you. But if you never say it, he can't do it. So I hope we will all do that. And I hope you will not be like the rich young ruler who came to the Lord. He said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, keep the commandments. He said, I've done that from my youth. I doubt it, but that's what he said. And then the Lord said, very good. Only need to do one more thing. Just sell everything that you have. And then he went, it says, he went away sorrowing. You know why? He was looking at himself. What should he have done? Let me give you a contrasting case. A man comes to the Lord, his daughter is ill. He says, heal my daughter if you can. The Lord said, why do you say if you can? All things are possible to him who believes. Then the man prays a very strange prayer. He says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So did he believe or not believe? He was willing to believe. So that's what we need to be. We need to say, Lord, I am willing. I can't fulfill it, but this is what I want. So we pray for you that you will not make your job your profession.
Amen.
You will not make your family your career.
Amen.
But you will carry out the top career and the highest profession.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I'll stop here. Amen. I think some of the brothers will share some more.
Yeah. Brothers asked me and some of the brothers to maybe give a little confirming word, just a short word.
Oh, okay.
At least you can hold it.
Okay. I got to thinking while he was speaking, why do we hear this word? You can be sure in any other Christian group in the whole Seattle metropolitan area would not hear such a word as this. The reason we hear this is because the Lord wants to make overcomers of the Lord's recovery.
Yes. Yeah.
He doesn't, there's not much hope to me to have a corporate group of overcomers that he could call the bride apart from the Lord's recovery. And this was an excellent word. And because virtually all the saints, very few people, do not have jobs in the Lord's recovery. We all work for a living. And actually, God ordained that man work. Because when man fell, sin was there. The one way to limit sin was, Adam, you will earn your living by the sweat of your brow. And Eve, you will through childbearing be saved. Mm-hmm. And so we do need to go to work. You know, Paul even said, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. That's some bums were brothers in the church. And he was correcting this situation. We need to be diligent. We need to work. But it needs to be in a proper perspective. I'm just going to give a little of my testimony is all, just to confirm what Mark has said. This was an excellent word tonight, and the verses really match it. I didn't come in the same way because I was in Christianity, and then I met my wife, and then she was in a different denomination, but anyway, we were in love, and we got married, and we're not the pattern because she was 18 and I was 22. But guess what? In about 10 days, we're going to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary.
Amen.
What three questions did you ask
her? I didn't ask her any. I was in another realm. I was a Christian, but I was in another realm. But I would just tell you this. Not too long, we were in a denomination, and I read two books by Watchman Nee. And from the first time in my life, even though I was saved as a youngster, for the first time in my life, I began to walk with God in my daily living. Prior to that, I didn't even know you could walk with God. And the denomination didn't help me because the pastor didn't know this. Nobody knew this. But this ministry will teach us these kind of things. Anyway, so as I begin to walk with the Lord at my job, and I work for the Boeing Company, I started in here, and I learned to take the Lord on my job. And that was a big thing to me, because you can fellowship with the Lord on your job, and you need to do that.
Yes.
You know why? Because you spend 40 hours a week there, at least.
Yeah, at least.
The Word says a number of places, abide in me, and I in you. That means you got to have the contact with the Lord, and then you learn to know the Lord's feeling and the Lord's voice. We call it the Lord's voice, the life in peace, the flowing. He hears you when you pray, but if you stay with Him and abide with Him, you will learn to hear Him, which is quite crucial. And eventually, I begin to progress with the Lord this way. And some days, I would just be, if you spend some time with the Lord in your job and refer the things in your job to the Lord and see the evidence of His giving you the result at your job, then all of a sudden, inside you, I mean, I don't know what to call it. It was just, you know, I read about love and joy and peace and patience and all these things. It seems like I had the whole ball inside of me just welling up.
Amen.
You know, we get in the morning revival a lot of times, and I am not against the morning revival. I'm absolutely for it. But let me tell you this. The morning revival is not enough.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
It's just, you know, some people treat it really light. 10 minutes are done, whatever, 15 minutes, whatever. What about, you got the whole day left. You're going to sleep 8 hours. That's one-third of all the time that's gone. And then you're going to work 8 hours. And then you're going to and from and with your family and whatever else the other 8 hours. Well, you might say, well, maybe I'll abide in the Lord in my sleep. Well, I think some people get to that point, but I'm not there yet. So I need to abide. I need to touch the Lord. I need to walk with God when I'm awake.
Amen.
And a lot of times with my family and this and that, I get very distracted, and I'm doing a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? But with your job, you need to settle in on that and learn to contact the Lord and walk with the Lord. Let me tell you, this will transform you. And the Lord will arrange circumstances at your job sometimes, and sometimes they will be very hard. So you just cannot get out of it without getting into the Lord. I worked with Boeing, and it was, I worked with them back when they weren't so nice. You know, people get nicer as they go along, but because times change. Now everybody is supposed to love everybody, and including love the devil. You know, it's just really horrible. But they could be mean to you in those days, and the union couldn't protect you that much. You know what I'm saying? When I first came in. So I had to learn to give things over to the Lord. And when I gave it over to the Lord, then I left the responsibility with Him. When I would do that, I would be in the rest. And then when we came to the Lord's recovery, I lived this way about 5 years before I came to the Lord's recovery, but I'd read Watchman Nee books already. So it gave me this ministry. But walking with the Lord will transform you.
Amen.
Amen.
And then you will see the evidence of the result of what you... I would give something to the Lord, and I would see how He handled it. And He did a whole lot better job than I did. I migrated away, and then I came back, and I found out that my name was on the top of a pile that they wanted to rehire, because they just thought I just really knew how to do this. You know what I mean? What they wanted. But they couldn't rehire me, and I didn't know my name was on the top of that list. So I walked the streets for 6 months without a job, walking with the Lord, because the Lord was training me. And I had the distinct feeling when I went in to have an interview and fill out an application, the Lord had gone before me to stop that job. I knew he was not going to let me get it. I learned that after a while. I said, Lord, I'm going to go in there to this place, be a new place. But I know I'm not going to get this job because I know you already went to stop it. And it was true. I'd go in there again. And then I went home and I had a real dealing with the Lord like I never had in my life. A real dealing. By that time, I got a wife and four kids. As soon as I finished with that dealing, in about an hour, my phone rang. And Boeing wanted to rehire me. This guy calls me up and he says, would you like to work for Boeing? I was in his office the day before. He said, we're not hiring anybody. I'd swing by there once in a while. But this time I got through with the Lord. I'm not going to tell you what I said with him. It was very private. Amen. But I want to tell you, my confidence is not in myself for even keeping a job. I come to the place where I don't work for Boeing or I don't work for this company. Right. That I work for God.
Amen.
That job I cannot lose.
Amen.
That's the career.
That's my career.
That's the career.
But the Lord had to get through in that. Otherwise, you still think I can do something. Mm-hmm. You'll be going down there asking for food stamps if you don't watch it. You can't do anything. I don't care how competent you are. He can give you that kind of dealing. We need to have this kind of dealing from the Lord. And this will train us to walk with him.
Amen.
And then, so that's one thing I wanted to just impress you, because let me tell you something. I learned to live this way. And you know what? I lived in the rest. I rested at my job. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will rest you. I will give you rest. Because I had rest, I had time to come to the church meetings in the evening. I can have a home meeting in my house. I go to the prayer meeting. I got the weekend activities. I got plenty of energy, even though I work 40 hours a week and sometimes overtime. But I had the rest.
Amen.
I had the rest because I'd given all my responsibility to the Lord. When I walked in there, that guy called me back and I said, I was here yesterday and you say you're not hiring. He said, no, we're not hiring from the street. We're hiring from this pile. And he said, your name is on the top because you worked here 7 years before and we saw your record. But that record was not my record. That was the Lord's record.
Amen.
Amen.
I gave that all to the Lord. And it turned out to be, He's pretty good at what he does. He's a lot better at what he does, and it's a lot easier on us. Learn to have this kind of relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
We all need to have this kind of relationship. Then you take care of the 40 hours during the week. Do you really think you'll be an overcomer if you go to work 40 hours a week and you don't touch the Lord during that 40 hours? You're going to touch the Lord enough when you get up in the morning, and enough when you come home at night, and enough in the meetings to make you an overcomer? I don't think so. I don't think so. And the Lord wants us to be built up together in his recovery.
Amen.
He's after the bride. You know, Martin Luther's an overcomer, an individual. Madame Guyon is an overcomer. John Darby's an overcomer. Watchman Nee. But the Lord can never come back to those individuals. He must have a corporate entity.
Amen.
That he calls the church.
Amen.
Even
Amen.
If it's a remnant. Even though we're a remnant. If there's a remnant that's transformed and built up, he says, Satan, look, there's my bride.
Amen.
Amen.
And it's over the whole earth. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. For a testimony. That means Christ and the church. People that are under God's headship. And then another thing I want to mention, and then I'm going to sit down. There was a guy that worked for Boeing who was same education that I've got, which is not a lot, but we were aggressive. and he was aggressive. And I went to all the schools that Boeing offered, and including they sent me finally to management school, and they were going to put me on the fast track. And this guy got on the fast track, and he became one of the vice presidents of Boeing Company. And I had in my heart, I could do the same thing, because I was filled with ambition. But as time went on, and I was in the church life, this kind of word would come out, brother by brother Lee too. And I got to a certain point where there was a line, and I looked over across that line, and I saw a lot of politics there. And I said, you know what? Oh, I had a feeling if I cross that line, they're going to own me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? You know what own me means? It means they own my soul.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Satan wants, you know, when those that were weeping over Babylon, Babylon wants people that they want the gold and the silver and all the clothing and all the things and all the merchandise and eventually the souls of men. The last thing he wants is the souls of men. Because if he has your soul, the Lord can't build up the church. I had the feeling if I cross this line to advance myself, I have sold my soul to the Boeing company. I had a definite feeling about that. So you might have it. I run into this all the time, not just with Boeing, lots of people. They're advancing. I spoke this word down in Columbia, and this brother, I knew this brother had sold his soul already. And I said, how you doing? He said, I just made a decision to quit that job. I said, well, praise the Lord. I didn't say a word to him. He just heard what I shared down there. So don't let Pharaoh grab you so that you're working day and night. You don't have time for the church life. You don't even have time for the family life. Anything that would damage the church will damage your family too. If you're spending too much time there. So don't let that happen to you.
Amen.
Don't sell your soul to Pharaoh.
Amen.
You know, it's attractive. You make money, make a lot of money, have a high position. No, that won't be anything. As a Christian, you'll go through the 1,000 years to finally come this way. Yeah. Every Christian will come this way before the New Jerusalem is completed.
That's for sure.
There isn't another way. The Lord ordained his economy to be dispensed into, to be transformed, and to be built up together. That's how the New Jerusalem is built.
Amen.
So don't try another way. If you do, you're going to waste time. And the older I get, the more precious I really realize how precious time really is.
Right.
We don't have a lot of time. I think that's all I want to say.
I just want to give a brief testimony. When I graduated from college, I was really dissatisfied. I had great searchings of heart, like it said in Judges, because I didn't know what my life was for. And the world offered me the so-called American dream. I just couldn't accept that. I just couldn't go that way. You get a good job, you have a family, you buy a house, you buy a bigger house, then eventually you drop dead. And it's like, for what? It's like, is that my dream? I said, that's already been done. People have been doing that for years. Why should I repeat that history? I said, God, I don't believe God created me to do that. I don't know what God's purpose is, but it's not that. And I was searching for God's purpose, but I had no idea what it was. I grew up in the Presbyterian denomination, And I knew that they had no clue what God's purpose is. So in this kind of state, within 6 months, I touched the recovery.
Wow.
And when I touched the recovery, I said, this is it.
Amen.
This is why I was created.
Amen.
I was created for this, and I made a great resolution in my heart.
Amen.
To give my life for that.
Amen.
Not for the American dream, but for God's dream.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'll just share it a little bit. Also, there's this verse here. This is in Romans 16. Now to him, this is Paul, who is able to, the end of Romans, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. That is the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And this is the point. According to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept in silence in the times of the ages, but has now been manifested.
Amen.
So what the brothers are sharing about today, they're talking about this mystery.
Right.
And, you know, I was like Dexter, too, after I graduated from college. Although I didn't have the words, I was also very dissatisfied. I'd been a Christian, even a good Christian,
yeah,
but there was a dissatisfaction. But, you know, something happened. By the Lord's mercy, He opened my eyes to see this revelation.
Amen.
Mainly two revelations. The mystery of God, which is Christ in us, day by day.
Amen.
We can actually enjoy Christ. This is what the brothers were sharing. Something is available to us that, as Paul said, it was silent for ages, but it's now open to us.
Yeah.
And the other is the mystery of Christ, which is the church.
Amen.
That we could be corporately the organic body of Christ.
Amen.
You know what? Something happened when I had that revelation. So my point is, all of what the brothers have shared, particularly Mark's point about giving ourselves, from my experience, it hinged on what I saw.
Amen.
It wasn't, yes, I just got convinced, or I was miserable enough that I said, okay, anything is better than what I've got. Actually, outwardly, things were not that bad. But when I saw the revelation of this mystery,
amen,
when I saw Christ and when I saw the church,
amen,
then it's like the brother said, you're not talking about sacrifice. I mean,
no,
that's there's no price. It's like, what price? This is what I want.
Amen.
This is what I'm made for.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just very practically, what's been a huge help for me and my wife, and are going on, in keeping the priority, is to see the revelation.
Amen.
And it's not a one-time thing, but to keep it renewed, refreshed. The one priority my wife and I very practically have had is we always have given this ministry the priority.
Amen.
This gospel that Paul talked,
yes,
about, his gospel,
amen,
right, according to the revelation. That is what we talk about when we say the ministry. It's the ministry that opens this revelation to us.
Amen.
So we dragged our kids to trainings, to conferences. I don't know. It might have warped them. We don't know. But it was worth it.
Yeah.
Amen. What didn't they get to do? What didn't we? I don't know, saints. But we just saw it. It was just the thing to do.
Yeah.
We didn't. There wasn't a much of a challenge of balance. It was like, now how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
How are we going to go down to the training with three kids and they need to be babysat and we don't know anybody down there? The Lord, when we prayed, he gave, we hired a babysitter, happened to be Sherman's daughter, drove her down to the training and she watched her kids while we went to the training. Now, I'm not saying you need to do this, but as we prayed, that was just the obvious thing to do. It worked until Jeanette wanted to go to the meeting. The last time she was with the hospitality and the saints were just coming back, just, you know, in the training. And she says, I don't watch these kids anymore. I want to go. Anyway, I just would just say, when we see what it is that the Lord is and what the church is and where we are, you know, 600 years, 6,000 years of human history, It's all culminating into Christ and the church. Amen. It's culminating in what we are seeing in the Lord's recovery. Brexit, it's about this. Everything is about this. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to share a little bit. I was really impressed with the verses in Luke 14 with the matter of building and the matter of going to war, the calculating, considering. And I didn't see this point, and I was quite struck. I hope you all were also, because we are all living here for the reality of Genesis 1:26. Is that not right? Aren't we all living here for the sake of the image and dominion?
Yes. Amen.
And then when our brother brought, when Mark Robbie brought that out, I was, whoa. And then in that footnote, in verse 28, it says, give to it all that you are and all that you can do.
Amen.
At the risk of, you know, this is my testimony. I don't want to. But anyway, this is my.
It is.
It is. Of course, I'm the concrete driver that he was talking about. And, and there'd be a lot of days. This is not what I want to share. But anyway, there'd be a lot of days I'd be in the truck by myself. And I'd be screaming. Because I could scream as loud as I want in the truck because you couldn't hear me. Calling on the Lord, and I'd be going down the street like this, and people would be looking up in the truck, what is wrong with that crazy black man? But I was enjoying the Lord's presence.
Yeah.
There would be many times in that truck that I thought, anyway, that's okay, so give all that you have. You know, in the profession that I had before, you know, we had to give all.
Yeah.
We had to give all. In order to be successful, this was my profession, a professional athlete. And we had to calculate every day. We had to practice every day. Okay, what will it take today? What are we going to eat? Everything was channeled in this direction as how will we prepare for the season and the next game. So I thought, okay, I got to sleep. I've got to eat proper. I don't want to go here. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this. Okay, I can only do that so that we could, you know, be the most successful team that we were, that we ended up being. Okay. Anyhow, when we gave ourselves to this practice, we were very successful. Well, dear saints, we need to give ourselves to this higher profession.
Amen.
Now, we're not here, okay, you have to do this, you have to. Listen, Mark Robbie said, just choose. Great resolutions and searchings and resolutions of heart. Then the Lord, I like that, will fulfill it. The Lord himself will fulfill it. So here's what happened. I was standing in the kitchen one day, and all of a sudden I caught a glimpse. Now, you know, everything wasn't bad for me. Everything was great for me. I had my health. I had a lot of money. Everything was wonderful, except something deep inside just kept gnawing away, and I couldn't explain it. What's going on? So one day, I was standing in the kitchen. I was reading Ezekiel chapter 1, and it says, Ezekiel says, I was by the river Chebar, and all of a sudden, I saw something of Christ. Then I saw something of the body of Christ. So then it was easy for me to say, to make the decision, Lord, I want to give myself to this. Then this person came to me. He said, Willie, you know, last Lord's Day, Ryan, the Cleveland Cavaliers just won the NBA Finals, right? They did. So he comes to me back then, and he says, I'm going to be probably the head coach, at least I'm under consideration to be the head coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I want you to go with me as my assistant. His name was Les. I said, Les, don't even consider me. I found something much better. That's refuge. I found something much higher.
Amen.
Mark Robbie, I found something much higher. Anyway, dear saints, consider seeing, you know, consider this vision of such a person and his body.
Yes. Amen.
And then see what will happen. then, I just would say that much, then see what would happen. So we just make this resolution with great searchings.
Amen.
And then see what happens.
Amen. Amen.
Let's see what happens.
I think we have some time, maybe.
I just want to say one more thing. I just was talking with Mark just now. You know, that verse that says, he will work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God that works in you, both the willing and the doing. A lot of times, we just don't have the willing. Now, you could take this, if you wanted, you could take what we've said here tonight as a big demand. Well, I need to start walking with God now.
That's right.
But don't do that. But tell the Lord, Lord, I want to walk with you.
Amen.
Make me willing.
Amen.
Make me willing. I'm not willing, but I want to be willing. You watch how the Lord will make you willing.
That's right.
And not only that, not just in that, but in everything. He works in the willing and the doing. That's why no flesh will glory in his presence. I won't say, well, I walk with God. That's why I'm here. No, 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 no. You didn't walk with God without God's willingness in you. You don't walk with anybody. You walk with your flesh. But God will make us willing, and then we walk with him.
Amen.
And this is all his doing.
Amen.
Sorry.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's hear from you.
Yeah. It can be questions. It can be confirming.